You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham.
Experimentation.
Vision.
The next idea.
People mean very different things whenever they talk about innovation.
As you probably heard, everyone from Michael Pollan to climate change experts have suggested raising cattle for beef is hard on the environment. The amount of resources that go into producing a pound of beef are a lot greater than what it takes to produce a pound of chicken, for instance. Plus, in some cases, transporting beef further adds to its carbon footprint. We saw a story recently in Traverse magazine that caught our attention, and today's guest on The Next Idea is a researcher who says there are ways to reduce the environmental impact of raising beef cattle. Jason Rowntree is a researcher in animal science at Michigan State University, and he joins us now. We usually raise grain-fed beef in big feedlots. What are the concerns about how we raise beef today?
First of all, from a standpoint of overall feedlot management, is that when we compare feedlots and the production of beef as to pork or poultry, it's a less efficient model. It requires more energy per unit red meat that enters into the system. So that's number one. Number two is the grain that takes to produce the beef coming from the feedlots has to come from somewhere. And ultimately, that has led to decreases in soil carbon, which we're seeing greater challenges with eutrophication. We also are seeing...
What's that mean?
Oh, excuse me. Yes, eutrophication, greater amounts of sediment in minerals, including phosphorus, that are entering the water bodies that are creating hypoxic zones. For instance, what we see in Lake Erie today, especially outside of Toledo. That means likewise, though, that agriculture are working to address these challenges. We're aware of them. But there are some challenges in terms of our existing food models.
What are you doing differently?
We are really approaching our research from a standpoint of an ecological worldview. We want our production models to be profitable for the people in the state of Michigan and elsewhere. But concurrently, we want to be able to see these models be ecologically regenerative, that we're actually improving landscapes we're growing food from. And then finally, we would like the food we produce to be socially just, in the fact that nobody is getting the short end of the stick in terms of food production, that we can have a model that will not harm our earth or harm Michigan in terms of water quality and other things. And so, thankfully, Michigan State has been very supportive of our work. We have a research center, Lake City Research, that is dedicated to looking at these potentially old but now regenerated ways of producing food and using cattle to harvest sunlight and to take advantage of some of their really neat specific attributes of being able to digest forage into making protein.
Right. So you have grass-fed beef. We should explain that. Why is that better for the environment?
Well, I think anything when we look at a food system to say one is better or worse, I think it really boils down to the very logistics of the model, the locality, and other things. And so it's much more complex than looking at one versus the other. What I can tell you is the research that we see in Michigan is the fact that through our management, we can graze cattle. In fact, it takes us around an acre and a half to produce one grass-fed steer. We get roughly about a 650-pound carcass weight that equates to, 350 to 400 some odd pounds of product. But the point of our model is that we can do that while dramatically limiting our inputs. We do not use nitrogen fertilizer in these models. Likewise, after 6 years of monitoring, we're seeing big gains in our soil carbon. And so it also lets us know that we can produce this food, but likewise, we're bringing CO2 out of the atmosphere and we're putting it back where it belongs in the soil.
So does it take more land to produce beef this way?
It can, yes, sir. But I think the thing that we typically use and the things that we think about with land use is we only look at it from a standpoint of acreage. Do we look at what's going on per unit land or per unit acre? And while our research would suggest that a grass-fed model in Michigan, for instance, may take probably potentially an acre more per animal to grow that food, I think we need to likewise be mindful of the ecosystem services that are being gained, such that even in a way that even if it does take up more land, as long as that land isn't being used for row crops and other things, it may be an added extra benefit to having those cattle on the land, such that, it may take more land, but every everything we're seeing is improving the land. So the more we see this system on the land, in fact, the better the soil, the greater the water retention. So we get some added benefits from it.
People who are skeptical about using the approach you're talking about say, we don't have enough land in the U.S. to produce the amount of cattle that we consume to do it this way. What's your response to that?
First of all, my response is that when we go back and look at the onset of the Green Revolution, some really great research from Rakan Lal at Ohio State published in Nature would suggest we've already lost over half of our topsoil that we had going back to the 1950s, for instance. So as we look at the aspects of land, I would like to shift it from a standpoint of not just looking at the amount of land, but what's going on land. And so ultimately, some of our systems may potentially take more, but likewise, are they adding benefits to society? And one of the main challenges of agriculture from a holistic lens is we have not accounted for the unintended consequences of our decisions. And so because of that, if somebody says, well, it takes more land and we're already pressured, I think we need to move away from this land and feeding the world by the year 2050 and really begin to look at it more from an ecological view. Is that, are we being good stewards? Are the decisions we're making and the policies we're making, are they actually improving land? Are we able to see more water retention? Are we losing or are we gaining in terms of water use efficiencies? And so I really would like to structure the conversation in a different lens. Now,
I understand the sure. benefits. What I'm asking you is, practically speaking, could we switch from feedlot to grass-fed beef and produce enough beef at the rate we consume it?
So I think the answer to that is in certain geographical areas, there's no doubt in my mind that we can institute systems that are pasture-based and grass finishing that could be very competitive with grain-fed models. Now, when we look at certain areas out in the West, that's not going to happen. And so from a standpoint of looking at our models, and looking at the fact that in certain geographical areas with adequate rainfall and certainly with management, we can see these models be very competitive with our conventional models that are seen today.
There has been some pushback by the beef industry. How have beef cattle producers reacted to your research?
That's a great question, and I have found the Michigan cattle industry to be very supportive. I don't look at it as a us versus them. I look at it as a system that we are growing. There's a growing demand for grass finishing of beef. But concurrently, just recently, we're learning that McDonald's has been very interested in some of the research that we're putting together. And likewise, they're interested to see what types of improvements in soil can be made on cow-calf models that are typically raising cattle to go into the feedlot. And so our industry has been very supportive here in the state.
I got one final question for you. You're raising red Angus cattle. Until I read about your research, I've never heard of red Angus cattle. Why that breed?
Well, quite simply, when we came and started this research, we needed cattle that could effectively do it on grass. And so I was able to find a group of cattle that happened to be red, no different from the same genes that control a yellow lab versus a black lab kind of a situation, if you think about it in terms of dogs. And so basically nothing real specific other than the fact that we were able to put together this base of cattle for our research. So nothing ultra unique, but the cattle have done a very good job for us here.
Jason Rountree is an associate professor of animal science at Michigan State University, and he's researching ways to better raise cattle so they have a less impact on the environment. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Yep, take care.
Support for the next idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.